message. I receive. Yes, ma'am. I'll be filling in for Pastor Phillip tonight. Of course, next week, as you heard last night, our exams will be next week. All I know is his multiple choice, and he told me to make sure you read chapter 1, because that is where the exam will come from. Internet, the exam will come from chapter 1, and you should be able to download it. And if you do not have it yet, please be sure to email him, let him know. Everybody should have received it by email. If not, we'll make sure that you get it, all right? Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace that is on our apostle and on this particular training center, Father. Thank you that everybody will receive exactly what they've come to receive. And, Father, your kingdom will be advanced because of it. We thank you for it now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor Phillips has been going through chapter 1 of the outstanding prophetic signals and really giving us the author has been giving us signals or giving us different excerpts out the Word of God that will cause us, I receive, sir, that will cause us to see that the church is being elevated, the church is being established. And so he's dealt with a few of those earlier. Tonight, I'm going to deal with wealth, the anointing, and the established church. And now she finishes out for chapter 1. If you would turn with me to Malachi, the third chapter. If you haven't realized it by now, the church is starting to learn more about wealth than it ever has before. This was prophesied in Joel, the second chapter. We're going to read it here in Malachi, the third chapter. In the 17th verse, what God the Father was saying, what he would do. In Malachi, the third chapter, the 17th verse. Now, if you notice, here's one thing that the Apostle Paul used to warn against, Jesus warned against. I think it's in Matthew's, the 15th chapter. That chapter, Jesus began to deal with false teachers and different things of that nature. Whenever God is making a move or advancing the church, everybody's going to jump on the bandwagon. But when you will find out those who are true and authentic with what God is saying, by what they're saying, when it's not popular to say it. If you notice, maybe around early 2000s, everybody talking about wealth, everybody talking about being prosperous, everybody talking about having more than enough. Every ministry you can pretty much think about was talking about it. But as soon as the bottom dropped out of the economy, those same ministers begin to change their tune. Are you seeing this? And only those that stuck with the kingdom or kingdom principles about wealth are the ones that still kept saying, in that economic downturn, you're going to have to sow. You're going to have to sow. You're going to have to sow. The reason for that happening is because a lot of their focus was not purity. It wasn't holiness. Their focus was, I'm trying to rake in as much money as I can so I can be comfortable. And using God as a cover. Is that making sense? Here's what God said in Malachi, the third chapter, 17th verse. And they shall be mine, he's talking about us, said the Lord of hosts, in that day when I will make up my jewels, talking about us, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. I like this in the Message Bible. God of the angel army said, they're mine, all mine. They'll get special treatment when I go into action. I treat them with the same consideration and kindness that parents give the child who honors them. So we're destined for wealth. We're destined for prosperity. God spoke about it over and over. In the Old Testament, we see those prophets begin to prophesy about what happened in the latter. Zechariah 10, he's talking about we get the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the same month. So we're destined for prosperity. In saying that, in understanding the day of this prosperity, watch this. Haggai 2:9, turn there. Haggai chapter 2, verse 9. The glory of the latter house shall be greater than of the former, said the Lord of hosts. The glory, word glory. Glory simply means material manifestation of wealth. The first time the word glory was used was when Jacob was dealing with Laban. They weren't talking about spirit moving at that time. They were talking about material wealth. So God here is saying, watch this. Watch what he's saying. He's saying the material wealth of the latter house shall be greater than the former house. Are you seeing this? So here we see these guys in the Old Testament keep prophesying and keep telling us about how much wealth we're going to have. So these are the days of wealth in the church. We're going to see more wealth than we've ever seen before. Because watch this, we're learning the right way to do it. We're learning the right way. We're putting it in its right perspective. We're understanding the true purpose of wealth. We're understanding what wealth is for, what it is not for. And because we're learning these things, God is honoring us as his children. He said, we just read in Malachi 3rd chapter 17 verse, he said, there's going to be a day of Jews. I'm going to treat them. I'm coming. When I do it, I'm going to treat them royally. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
Go with me to Mark the 10th chapter. You know, Jesus began to talk about in the 10th chapter. He starts getting over after the rich young ruler. We're going to see this. In Mark the 10th chapter, about the 8th verse. I'm sorry, the 18th verse. Mark the 10th chapter, the 18th verse. The rich ruler run up to him and watch this. Go to the 17th verse. And when he was gone forth in the way, there one came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Now, what is this rich young ruler asking for? Eternal life. He's asking Jesus, what must I do to get this eternal life you're talking about? What must I do to be able to live with you forever? Are you seeing this? His focus at that particular moment was on Jesus. Jesus, how can I be with you? All right, you see this, right? Let's keep reading. Verse 18, and Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. Now here it is, Jesus is telling him how he's going to get eternal life. How can he be with Jesus forever? But when Jesus told him, sell all that you have, give it to the poor, we're going to see this next verse. Verse 22, and he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. See, Jesus, first of all, let's get our thinking straight. Jesus didn't tell him give everything he had away. Jesus said, sell what you have. Sell. So that means his house, his animals, or whatever he had to take care of, sell that so you don't have anything to hold you back from doing what you've asked me you wanted to do. But the wealth got in the way. The wealth got in the way of him following his first question. See, his focus, see, this is why Matthew 6:33 is so important. This is why Matthew 6:33 is so important. Seek ye what? First. This is them internet. The kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what's the result of that? God said he will add all these things to you. So that means that our focus needs to be on God, needs to be on purity. Our focus needs to be on God, what can we do for you? And see, if we don't have that focus in place, as God begins to increase us, wealth without God has a tendency to drag you off. I mean, think about it. You get to a point in your life where, you know, money is coming from everywhere. You can get what you want, when you want, how you want it. You can do what you want, when you want, how you want it. And you just got no limitations whatsoever. None. And so now God comes in and said, I need you to do this. What God wants to know is, can he come to you at that moment and you would lay all that aside and say, God, what would you have me to do? See, God don't mind us having. He just don't want it to be in a place to where we become impure towards him. Am I making sense? You have to brace yourself for this. You have to prepare yourself for this. Go to Deuteronomy 8th chapter. God did it in reverse in Deuteronomy 8th chapter. He did it in reverse. Obviously, they messed it up for us because he ain't done it in reverse since. Deuteronomy 8th chapter. Now, this is the children of Israel as they coming out of Egypt, coming out of slavery. And here it is. They're starting to get some commandments. All the commandments, verse 1, all the commandments which I commanded thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live, multiply, go in, and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the ways which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou would keep his commandments or no. Are you seeing this? So what happened is they became rich, leaving Egypt, went to the wilderness, and they just went berserk. Moses go up to the mountain to get the law of God to come back to be a reflection of them, to let them know that their focus is not him. That's all the Ten Commandments did, because they didn't know what their focus should be on. So God had to create laws to show them that they were missing it. So when Moses came down, by the time Moses came down the mountain, they had already found another god, one that they had built, golden calf. And so now you see how when you have wealth, without God's objective or agenda guiding that wealth, it will lead you into immorality or impurities. And then nothing will. See, we talked about this last night. God, and I was talking we were talking while we were eating lunch today, and the staff, we were just eating lunch, we were talking, and I began to talk about how God places, when he made man, he placed those desires in us, and he placed them strongly in us. But that's why he placed his spirit on inside of us. Because only his spirit can be the thing that tames those desires. Are you seeing this? So we have to take time to prepare ourselves on purpose. On purpose. We have to prepare ourselves. Because as long as we go unprepared, God knows we can't handle the wealth. So if you don't watch this, thank you, Holy Spirit. So at the same time you are sowing, you have to be preparing yourself to realize this is not what my focus is on.
That's right. Yes, sir.
You have to prepare yourself. Turn me to 2 Chronicles. Solomon and David, we're going to talk about them in a little while, and we're going to kind of breeze through them. But Solomon, we see it in 1 Chronicles. Go, I want you to go because I want you to see this. 1 Chronicles, the first chapter. Second Chronicles. Second. This is God talking to Solomon and telling him, wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like. So here it is. Now, you got to realize what set this up. What set this up was when God came to Solomon in a dream. And here's the one thing that I admire Solomon for, is because he was so in love with God that even in his moment of him not being in total control of his faculties, meaning he's asleep, he was able to answer God and say, God, you done made me king over these people. I don't know how to come in or go out. I need you to give me wisdom on how to govern your people. And God said, because you ain't asked me for your enemies, you ain't asked me for riches, you ain't asked me for other kingdoms. He said, I'm going to give you wisdom, and I'm going to give you all this other stuff.
Yes, yes, yes.
So he started off going after God. But when he got intoxicated with his success, I believe y'all heard that before, how Noah got intoxicated with his success. When he got intoxicated with it, we got 700 wives. And he watch this, using God's wealth to take care of all of them. See, that wealth, when he did not continue to consult God. That's why you see him, when he started getting Ecclesiastes, he says, man, all this stuff is vanity. All this stuff, it don't mean nothing. What I'm doing all this for? He say, love the wife of your youth. Because he was talking from experience. He didn't stay focused.
Right.
Now he had all these other issues he had to deal with because he got all these other wives to deal with.
Yeah.
Are you seeing what I'm saying? It was the wealth that positioned him to get out of purity. So we have to brace ourselves to understand that we cannot allow wealth. We cannot allow the harvest that comes into our lives turn us away from the purity that we have with God.
Amen.
Go with me to Matthew, the 6th chapter. Read it, but I want you to see it. The author writes, it takes God for one to have money and not worship it. God is the only one that can allow you, you having him as center, not first. Notice he's not first, he's the center. He's the nucleus that everything else revolves around.
Yes,
with him as the center, God can harmonize everything in your life. He can harmonize the money, the family. He can harmonize the job. He can harmonize all that stuff with him at the center. Are you seeing this? See, if God is not at the center, If you don't have God at the center, you will not understand prosperity's true purpose. If you don't have God at the center, you will not understand the true purpose for living. If you don't have God at the center, you will not have the true purpose for you. What am I doing here? A lot of people walk around confused, trying to figure out what they're here for, trying to find themselves, because they don't have God the Father at the center. So when God is not at the center, purity cannot exist. Immorality is going to creep in one way or the other if God is not in the center. Am I making sense? Matthew, the sixth chapter. This is why we have to learn to seek. We keep saying this, but tonight I want to break this scripture down word for word. Matthew, the sixth chapter, 33rd verse. It says, "But seek ye first not God, but his kingdom." Because why is this? All his ways of doing things. Because the rich young ruler sucked. He sought after God, but he didn't want to do it God's way. Solomon sought after God, but he didn't want to do it God's way. So we have to seek after God's way of doing things. Because we have God. We're born again. He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." We have God. But what we don't have a lot of times is his input on how he wants things done, because we don't bother to ask. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
See, so when we seek first God, our focus is God. When I'm sowing seed, my first thought is, God, what is this money going to do to help your kingdom? I don't have to worry about what the seed is going to do for me, because that's not my business. Because according to 1 Corinthians 3 and 6, God gives the increase. I think it's Mark, the fourth chapter, it says the man sows seed and it springs and grows up, and he what? Knoweth not how. So if my focus shifts off of what am I going to get from this seed to what this seed is going to do in the kingdom, my mind is now focused on him, focused on his agenda. So now I don't have to worry about greed creeping in, because my motives are now, God, what I've invested in your kingdom.
Yes, sir. Yes.
The Bible says, Matthew, the sixth chapter, the 24th verse, it says, further up there, I think it's the 24th verse, either 21st, 24th, it says, wherever a man's treasure is, it's 21? It's 21, 24? 21. It's 21. Wherever a man's treasure is, that's where his. So if I take my money and place it with God, that's where my heart is. So my heart stays pure. My motives stay pure. I can walk in holiness. So when God keeps showing things up in my life, I don't have to feel guilty. I don't have to make no explanation to anybody about why I got what I got. Are you seeing this? See, you don't have to explain. When you walk in and when God gives you something, God gives it staying power. Are you seeing this? See, what happens, the reason why people lose wealth is because they might get it the way God wants it, but they don't keep doing what God is asking them to do. So now they're responsible for preserving. See, David, watch this. Comfort, watch this. The want of comfort more than you want for God quickly leads to immorality.
Yes, sir.
David is a prime example of this. David was supposed to be out to battle. But yet he sent his men and instructions and sent them to battle. He's chilling. Why? Because he king. Even though his kingship has some responsibilities. He was supposed to lead people in battle. But that morning, he decided to enjoy the comforts that the calling provided. That's when he seen Bathsheba. And then one thing led to another. Until somebody, Jonathan, came along and called him on a carpet. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
What, why is it important that we begin to, why is it so important that we shouldn't work for wealth? Golly. Because the reason why we shouldn't work for wealth is because then we have think we've achieved it on our own. So now we're no longer accountable to God our Father. And when we're no longer accountable to God our Father, that's when immorality, and that's when impurity, and that's when sin begins to creep in. But if I go God's way by sowing seed, that means I'm walking in the grace that is being talked about in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Are you seeing this? So that when I walk in that grace, I know it's an ability that God has placed on me that I couldn't have gotten anywhere else.
Amen.
Are you seeing this? So then, now watch this. Because God is the center, now wealth is in its proper perspective, and it can't pull me out. It's making sense. The misuse of wealth will always bring corruption. Solomon got the wealth because God gave it to him, but he used the wealth for something outside of God's agenda because he started building gods for the wives that he married. Are you seeing this? So at the end, Solomon's life is all jacked up, all messed up, it's all chaotic. That's where you get Ecclesiastes from, and all this, Lord, all this stuff is just vanity. What is all this? I don't know what all this is. And people get to reading the Ecclesiastes and get confused, and Solomon get to saying, you know, you need to do this and do that. So how is it, watch this, how is it do we go from Proverbs to Ecclesiastes? Because he got intoxicated off his own success. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
See, wealth, listen at me. Wealth to those who are outside of Christ will become your identity. That's why purity has to be your focus. They will know you by what you got. It will become your identity to those on the outside, which is nothing wrong with that because it becomes an attraction. But we can't let that attraction intoxicate us because we have to remember that it's only by grace that this is happening to me. Are you seeing this? See, wealth becomes your identity, not to you, but those that are around you. It becomes a trademark. People know you because of what you have. And so you can't let that detour you. That's why the more you have, the closer you have to get to God.
Yes.
The more time you have to spend with God, the wiser you have to become. Immorality erodes dignity. It breaks a man's destiny. See, David's destiny was halted, almost didn't make it. Do you realize that how gracious and how merciful God is? Out of the union of David and Bathsheba came Solomon to continue David's legacy. But what he didn't realize is Absalom was going to act a fool. Are you seeing this? So immorality erodes a man's destiny. It eliminates all the fulfillment that he or she could have accomplished. See, immorality, you know people right now, ministers right now, that have been caught in immorality, whatever it may be, and you don't have the same level of respect for them that you had before. I don't care how much culture honor you walk in. In the back of your mind, you say, and you got to force yourself to walk in a culture of honor. You got, Lord, I need your grace on this one.
Yes, sir.
Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
See, this is why in Titus, first chapter, Paul said, I'm sending you to finish a job that I didn't complete. He said, I want you to choose all the leaders in the surrounding city. And then he started getting the qualifications of the elders. He said, a bishop ought to be a man of one wife. You know, does his children listen to him? Has he been handling God's money properly? Ask around. That's even before he got to the handling of the word. He didn't talk. Paul didn't talk about finding out if they can handle the word until the eighth or ninth verse. He spent four or five verses talking about their quality of their holiness. Are you seeing this? Because character, don't you tell me nothing about doing what God is asking me to do if you ain't doing what God is asking you to do. Don't tell me nothing about living right if you ain't living right. Don't preach to me about holiness if you're not holy. So this is why Paul said, before you start choosing these leaders, because we're building the church, we're going to be getting some things straight. I can't have nobody stand up in the middle of the church talking about, you telling us not to do this, you just had two babies last year. We can't have that going on, but yet it's happening in the church. First Timothy, the sixth chapter. Turn there. We're going to close here. I tell even though you now we didn't get that far, but you're still going to be responsible for the rest of that chapter one, all right? All right, so don't come here telling Pastor Phillips, well, he didn't finish chapter one. Look, you need to read it for yourself, all right? 1 Timothy, we almost finished. 1 Timothy 6th chapter. Because I think this is very important that we understand that we have to begin now bracing ourselves. Jesus told the disciples after that rich young ruler went away, the disciples came to Jesus and said, Jesus, what in... If he can't get there, then how who gonna go? Which gave an indication that all of them had money. Are you seeing this? So Jesus began to tell him, with God, all things are possible. Are you seeing this? See, they were concerned, like, Jesus, look, we don't want the same thing to happen to us that happened to him. Because they were standing there watching him walk away from what they were already walking in. And they knew the honor it was to walk where they walked, and they couldn't believe that it happened to him. But they wanted to make sure, geez, that can't happen to us, can it? Are you seeing this? 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, and the 9th verse, I think it is. Yeah. Paul is writing to Timothy and to those that are following, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and snare and to many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Now watch this. This 10th verse has tripped a lot of people up from not being prosperous. Because, watch this, Paul was writing and talking to Christians when he wrote this. All right, now watch this. Watch this. Watch what he said. For the love of money, not money. Let's get that straight. For the love of money is the root of what? Ain't that what we've been talking about the whole? Now watch what he says. Watch what Paul says. Which some coveted after. They go after it. They go after it. That ain't what Matthew 6:33 says. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things should be added unto you. Watch what happens. Watch, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. They erred from the faith. They erred from the faith. Wealth, well, if you don't have God in his right place, you get some money, you will, I don't care, you will err from the faith. Let me give you an example of how cunning Satan can be. You might say, well, God, I'm going to serve God all my days. That's no problem. But suppose leadership comes in and said, we're going to do this this way, and it's not what you wanted to do, and you one of the highest tithers in the church. What you going to say? Are you going to say, okay, we're going to do it your way, or I'm taking my money and I'm gone? You have just erred from the faith. Why? Because wealth is not as in right perspective. So you're no longer, I don't care what commandments you ain't breaking, you are no longer walking in holiness. Are you seeing this? Go to verse 17. That same chapter. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in a store for themselves a good foundation against the times to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Ain't that what the rich young ruler was asking for?
Yes.
So therefore, watch this. We ought to use our wealth or the resources we have now to promote the kingdom. Right? Because the Bible says, Matthew 6 chapter, 21st verse, we read it earlier, wherever a man's treasure is, that's where his heart will be also. Charge them in this world that are rich not to be high-minded. High-minded. Well, if I work for it, I'm going to be high-minded. But if I got it through grace, I realize that it's only by grace that I'm in this financial position. It's because Jesus became poor that I had the right to become rich. So when I do it, when I attain it that way, it's easier. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. It's easier to walk in holiness. Because the same grace that caused you to be rich is the same grace that will cause you to be pure towards God. Because it's not by your ability. Are you seeing this? Let us begin to examine ourselves. Only you and God can do this. We're going to close here. Begin to examine yourself. You know, sometimes I begin to do this on purpose. On a Sunday morning, sometimes I receive the offering on a Sunday morning. And Dr. Thompson ministered and everything. So I get up. Ain't no time for me to try to get in a little sermonette on the offering and all that, because I want people to begin to consciously focus, meaning, you know, you're getting your seed in your hand and what thoughts are going through your mind. That's how you examine yourself. What thoughts are going through your mind? Are the thoughts going through your mind, oh, man, I got to get this money up. Or the thoughts of, man, I can't wait till I get what I'm going to get back from this harvest. Or is it, God, I'm so happy that you gave me this seed. And who am I? That's what David said. Who am I to offer so willingly what you have given to me anyway? God, I'm honoring you. See, when you begin to get into that frame of mind, when you begin into that mode of mind saying, my seed, God, this seed, I'm honoring you with this seed. I'm not even concerned about what I'm going to get back from this. I'm not even concerned about it. It's not my concern. It's not my business. God has already said what he's going to do. God said, I'm not a man that should lie. If I said it, I'll make it good. He's already said what he's going to do. So why should I be focusing on what I'm going to get back? See, that's why sowing has to become a lifestyle. It is not an event. It is a lifestyle. Just like holiness is a lifestyle. All of it is together. It is a lifestyle. So as I sow, what thoughts are going through my mind? Am I concerned about what I'm going to get back? Am I disgusted because I got to give it? Am I doing this because my neighbor is doing it? Am I under pressure? Do I want to look the part so that's why I'm giving? Are you seeing this? See, we have to begin to examine ourselves because whether you know it or not, and some of you might not even believe it, but I need you to get convinced. You are destined for wealth. So if I'm destined for it, I might as well now begin to prepare. Put your imagination, put yourself in a certain scenario. God, if I got this much, you tell me to do this, this is what I'm going to do. So you begin to prepare yourself and put yourself in a position for wealth. So that when wealth, as you begin to increase, Satan can't sneak in and cause you to become immoral. He can't sneak in and cause you to become impure. He can't sneak in and make you choose being comfortable over what God has said for you to do. Are you seeing this? Test next week. First exam. As I said last night, be sure, and those on the internet, make sure you go to the sample class. You all have been taking quizzes, so you should. Tonight, the quizzes are going to be different. Last night and tonight's quiz, as you see, it's going to be different. You're going to be able to take the quiz, and you'll have two chances to get the answers right. So if you get it wrong the first time, don't hurry up and choose the next answer. Go verify your answer, then come back and choose it to make sure you have it right. And so the rest of you all that are here in Darrell, go online, register. Make sure your password works if you haven't gotten it yet. You've been receiving emails if you have not yet about exams and different things of that nature. Be sure you log in, take the sample class, take some of the quizzes. So you'll get used to, matter of fact, it's not going to say exam or quizzes. It's going to say assessments. All right? It's going to say assessments. Now, why do you use the word assessment? I don't know. Just be simple. Just say quiz and exam. I ain't my system. I'm just using it. But nevertheless, be sure you take it. Be sure you go over it. And if you have any questions, begin to email your instructors. Begin to email Diana, Chantel, Deidre. Begin to email them. Or call the office if you're able to get to it during the day so that we can begin to help you walk through these issues before we get to next Monday when the exams actually open. All right? Y'all have a good night, and I will see you all, some of y'all at church, see some of y'all next week. Yes, ma'am. You don't have to. You could if you want to. You could if you want to. Yes, ma'am. Doing great. How are you? You don't have, no. You can take it if you want. If you don't want to. No, you don't have to. No, you don't have to. Alumni, you took all the tests you need to take as far as the school, so you good. Yes, ma'am. Hey, sir. Honored, sir. Honored. Doing good. Yes, ma'am. How do I stay in the corner to talk about the conference? Okay. Call Miss Barbara and ask for Barbara Davis, and she'll set you up. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. No, it'd be no problem. Just let her know and we'll make it happen.